Gather our scripture portion today from the book of Proverbs as we continue our series in the wisdom literature passages of scripture from Proverbs chapter 17, verses 17 through to 22. And if you can, if you'd like to join us, let's read together in unison. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man lacking in judgment strikes hands in pledge and puts up security for his neighbor. He who loves a quarrel loves sin. He who builds a high gate invites destruction. A man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble. To have a fool for a son brings grief. There is no joy for the father of a fool. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. May God richly bless his word to our hearts. You may be seated. All right, just give me 1 second here today. Okay, I'm missing a little clip here, guys.
It's on your tie.
Proverbs, and today we want to look at this important aspect of friendship. Every topic you can imagine is right here in the book of Proverbs. Did you know that? It's an amazing, amazing book, and the more I dive into it, the more I'm blessed, and the more I'm encouraged, knowing that God has a word for me. You know, we look at some of these older passages from the Bible, all these Old Testament passages, especially, and a lot of us say, oh, these are boring, you know, these are not even relevant for today. But all God's Word is for profit. All God's Word has a purpose for you, for me. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And God has something to say today about us choosing our friends and having friends in this world. Did you know that? He has a lot to say about our friendships. And so on this beautiful Lord's Day, as we look ahead to the days that lie ahead and the fall, the cool breezes of the fall, and the, you know, I hate to think about it, but winter's coming eventually, and all the season changes and everything, and we'll see the beauty of the fall colors before us in another couple of weeks. But what a great Sunday just to talk about friendship. And I thank God for my friends. I thank God that you're my friends, that I have many friends here that I've come to know and love in the last few months. Believe it or not, 10 months now I've been here as your interim pastor, and I don't know where the time has gone. But the friends I have here, the friends I have where I work at Cabela's, the friends I have through Facebook, you know, I can't believe that I've got friends I didn't know I had, even through Facebook. And there's all kinds of people wanting me to be my friend, and I don't know who they are. So, you know, it's good to have friends. And I want us to look at our relationship today with our friends because Proverbs has a lot to say about friendships, about the kinds of friends we should look for, and the kind of friends we should be ourselves. The book of Proverbs teaches us more to friendship than being acquainted with someone. It teaches more about friendship than just socializing with someone or having them on Facebook or anything like that. But we have an amazing opportunity, even as Christians, to be friends with one another, and to grow in our relationship with God, and to grow, especially, develop bridges of friendship to people in the world who have no realization of sin forgiven or no relationship with Jesus Christ. That, I think, is the challenge. Not that we would be friends with the world, because the Bible says that we ought to keep a distance there, but that we would build bridges of friendship and build bridges of trust so that we might be able to penetrate and influence our culture and the people around us with the love of God and be able to share the truth of the gospel. So Proverbs offers an exalted view of friendship that goes beyond just surface level camaraderie to a deeper level in which we share our hearts and lives with one another. And it's where we gather, where we see this verse here in Proverbs 17, verse 17, coming to bear. And how practical this is for each and every one of us. The writer of Proverbs says this, that a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now, the second part of that verse, sometimes I've scratched my head and I wonder what that means, that a brother is born for adversity. But even in adversity, I suppose, friendships can grow and friendships can develop. But the writer of Proverbs tells us that we should be careful about the kind of person we become friends with. He says in Proverbs 12, verse 26, he says this, that a righteous man is cautious in friendship. There's an element of caution there that every one of us ought to exercise as well when it comes to friendships and when it comes to relationships. When it comes to choosing friendships, it's like you're hiring someone to be your right-hand man, or to, so to speak, and signing that person up to be your right-hand man, or I guess in this day and age we call it a right-hand person. It sounds a little bit awkward to use that phrase, right-hand man, anymore. But it's a person whose advice you will seek. It's a person who you can turn to in times of trouble. It's a person that you will share good times with and bad times with and be able to trust no matter what. You must, as Solomon recommended, choose and exercise caution in that friendship nonetheless. Choosing a friend, in many ways, is like choosing a mate. Therefore, in choosing a friend, you try to choose a certain kind of person. And in being a good friend, you should strive to be a certain kind of person. Now, this is what I want us to look at for a few moments this morning. The kind of friend you want to have. The kind of person that you will be honored to call your friend and be able to treasure that relationship and be able to treasure that friendship for many, many years, as long as God gives you breath here on this green earth. So here's the kinds of characteristics a good friendship is all about, according to the book of Proverbs. And here are three things that we can take to heart and how that friendship ought to be something that's genuine, how it ought to be something that's true, how it ought to be something that's realistic, and how it ought to encourage you along your walk, along your way, in your relationship with Jesus Christ and with the body of Christ. Number one, a friend is someone who hurts when you hurt. Have you ever realized that you know your friends are there when you need them the most? That when you hurt, that you have a friend that can come and give you strength and give you comfort and give you guidance in the days that you're facing. Solomon says this, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born in adversity. Think of the people you call your closest friends. When you hurt, do they hurt? Or do they rejoice? Obviously, if it's the latter, they're not your friend. And then the question you must ask yourself is this: am I the kind of person that someone can turn to when they hurt, when they're in trouble, knowing that my response will be one of love, that my response will be one of consideration, of comfort, of giving strength, of helping in that particular time of need? I remember this summer my mom passed on, and I had friends coming out of the woodwork, people coming from every direction, being there to support me, being there to encourage me. And what a wonderful blessing this has been. A year ago, almost to the week, my father passed away. And people came from every direction during that time as well to support and to encourage and to be there for you. That's what friendships are all about. That we come to one another's rescue. that we come to support and to encourage. Not when another person is down and out, where, you know, we don't kick them or we don't make the situation worse. Many times I see that. But when we need comfort, when we need encouragement, when we need help along the way, a friend is there to hurt when you hurt. And what a blessing that is. What an encouragement that is. There's nothing like that. And especially in the context of being followers of Jesus Christ. And fellow believers are there for one another. And how awesome and how precious it is, and how rare it is to have someone stand by you in times of trouble. I was thinking this week of this child that they found in Boston, this baby doe that they found in a bag a couple of months ago outside of Boston on an island. And this week they found out who the parent of that child would be. And tomorrow, apparently, there's going to be charges laid against the boyfriend of the mother. And what a terrible time that is. And they were interviewing people on TV last night about this lady who was addicted to drugs and involved in prostitution and everything else. And it seemed as though, you know, she had a lot of friends if she would have only made her needs known. And if she'd only expressed herself and only would have called out to somebody for help during those difficult days, you know, this little child may still be alive and still be among us. But how precious it is when we can turn to our friends who care, friends who are there for us. In Job chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "A despairing man should have the devotion of his friends, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty." So whoever your friends are, we know they're not going to be perfect. We know that none of our friends are perfect. They make mistakes. Sometimes they'll make stupid mistakes. And at that time, more than any other time in your life and their lives, you need a loyal friend. The kind of friend who says, even if you go through the deep end, off the deep end, that I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to hang in there with you until you come to your senses. And when you have a friend like that, that's a friend. That's a good friend. When you're choosing friends, you need to ask yourself, does this person have the capacity for this kind of loyalty? Will that person be loyal? Will that person be true? And we need to ask ourselves, am I willing to be a loyal friend? Am I willing to be there through thick and thin and to help and encourage when it's needed the most? So the first thing that I see what the writer of Proverbs telling us is that a friend is someone who's there when we're hurting and when we need help. The second thing is that a friend will say what needs to be said. Sometimes it takes a real good friend to put you in your place. Sometimes it takes a real good friend to tell you something that needs to be said, some things that need to be said to you and for your sake and for your building up, for your encouragement. In Proverbs 27, verse 6, it says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." How about that? Think about that for a moment. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. To multiply kisses. Imagine. Think about what that said. I'm going to leave you with that little nugget and get you to think about it a little bit, maybe in the week ahead. I don't want to give the impression that a friend says only negative things. That's not the case at all. A friend offers encouragement. A friend is someone who offers support. A friend is someone that builds up your confidence. A friend is someone that can be counted on to give worthwhile, uplifting advice. Solomon said this. He said in chapter 27, verse 29, that the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. The pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. When choosing your friends, you need to ask yourself this. You need to ask, is this a person I can turn to for counsel? Is this a person who is willing to say, to talk to you about the good and the bad? Who is perhaps even willing to bring you to task or to call you out when you need to be called out? Is this someone who is willing to that I can trust? I can know he's there or she's there for me when times are difficult, and to help steer me in the right direction? That's what friendship is all about. The third thing that I think that's important for us is not only are we to be thinking about friendship in terms of being there when we hurt or calling us out or telling the truth to us, but a third thing is that a friend is someone who will bring out the best in you. Someone who will bring out the best. And I thank God for those kinds of people. People who will bring out the best. Who will be there. Who will help. Who will encourage. Solomon warns us to be cautious in choosing friends because your friend's character sometimes rub off on you. Have you ever noticed that? They rub off on us. He said in chapter 22, verse 24, these words, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." So, in other words, the writer of Proverbs is saying that, you know, if you hang around with a guy that's grumpy all the time, you know, maybe you're going to be grumpy yourself after a while. If you hang around with someone who is happy all the time, maybe you're going to be happy with that person. If you hang around with someone who lies and cheats and does everything else, well, that could happen. You know, I always get concerned about our young people and our youth especially, the kind of crowds they get into. And there's so much temptation out there in our schools today that our youth, we need to really pray for them because we know that there's bad influences in our high schools, in our public school system. And it wouldn't take much for our youth to get involved in the wrong crowd. I'm always fearful of that. When I see a young person in a church or in a youth group or whatever, I'm always fearful that they're going to get in the wrong crowd. But you know, we need to pray that God will protect them and guard them, guard their hearts, as the writer of Proverbs says in what we looked at last week. A friend is someone who will bring out the best in you. And, you know, I think we need to really strive in terms of being in the right crowd. Now, I really believe for the Christian, the right crowd is being together with other believers, being together with others who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who have trust and faith in Him, who believe in the power of the resurrection, who believe in what God can do when He changes a person's life. The people we share our lives with have the ability to influence us for good or for bad. And so we need to be careful. We need to be wise. We need to allow the wisdom of Solomon to infiltrate our minds and our hearts so that we would be a friend and someone after God's own heart. And so this morning, I just want to wind up and just come to a conclusion here by sharing this one verse that I think is really powerful. And it's been used at a lot of conferences, a lot of men's conferences especially. And I think this is a verse that we can take with us to the bank and apply in a powerful way. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." We can sharpen one another. We can keep one another sharp. One of the jobs I do at Cabela's is I'm in charge pretty well of the knife department of our store, and I sharpen people's knives every day. You bring a knife in, I sharpen it. Kitchen knives, I've seen so many knives bent out of shape, and I've tried to restore them, and I do it right there in the store for customers as they as a, you know, something we do free of charge. And I've seen people bring knives in that had absolutely no hope to them whatsoever. And the buddy I work with, we try to take that knife and we restore it and we get it back to its to what it should be, what it's designed to do. And, you know, I think of the fact that as Christians, we also are to be sharp people. We're to be keen. We're to be bright. We're to be alive. We are to be right on target at every opportunity in our walk with God. We need to choose friends that make us sharp. We need to choose friends where the qualities in that person is something that we admire, qualities we want to see in our own lives. We want to hang around with the right crowd and be there with the right crowd. And in Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm," the writer of Proverbs says. So I hope today maybe I've shared a little bit about, first of all, if you don't have close friends, if you don't have an inner circle, I hope that you will seek out people that you can grow in a relationship with, in a friendship with. It would be people of wisdom, people of character, people of compassion. I hope you'll be selective in the friends you choose. And if you're involved in friendships that are dragging you down, I hope you'll get out of that. And perhaps reconsider whether that truly is a friendship or not. But the second thing I hope today you'll take with you is that you will be inspired to examine the kind of friend you are to others. It's a two-way street, you know. It's a two-way track. More than likely, God has already put people in your life that you need to be thankful for. And more than likely, God has placed people in your life who need and deserve your friendship, that you need to be there for, that you need to encourage, that you need to help along the way. More than likely, God has given you someone or perhaps someone today who has no relationship with Jesus Christ, and that you could be the instrument. You could be the catalyst. You could be the person that God could use to bring that person to a saving knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. You know, you can be that kind of friend. If you have Christ in you, you have the power to change people's lives. You have the power to change this world. You need to exercise the power of the Holy Spirit within you as far as friendships are concerned. So they need you to hurt when they hurt. They need you to say what needs to be said in a way that helps them become a better person. And they need you to bring out the best in them, no matter what. If you become that kind of person, if you're willing to be that kind of friend, it won't be long until you find yourself involved in friendships that will reward and you'll be blessed for the rest of your life. And you'll be known as a person of great quality. Remember what Jesus said, and that he is a friend of sinners. Remember that he is your greatest friend. Remember he wants to be your friend every single day. He wants to be there for you. And that one verse that we perhaps hear quoted so many times, and that powerful verse from John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus laid down his life because you're his friend, and you're his. You're the one that he gave himself for. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for friendship. Thank you for the blessing of knowing your power in our lives, of knowing your blessing day by day. And I just pray, Lord, that we would be careful about the friends that we choose, and that we would be friends to others, so that we would be good friends that can be trusted, good friends that will be there to help in time of need, to say what needs to be said, and that we would also bring out the very best in other people around us. And so, Lord, use us to be the best friends that you would desire in people's relationships to one another. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we close this morning, we have two beautiful ladies that are going to come and sing for us. And these are words, I believe, that are very fitting for us today.